Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stacking the Box. Myself, Ian McMillan, Sterling Holmes joining me as always. I've got a lot of news to talk about today because big rule changes went into effect, or at least were voted to be approved today for the NFL. So we're going to talk about what those rule changes are and how that's going to affect the game this upcoming season. And also some news across the league, including L'Jarius Sneed of the Titans, who just actually finalized a contract with the Titans today as well. So a lot of stuff to talk about. Sterling, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
I'm good. We actually have NFL stuff to talk about. Actual news. Some I like, some I hate. So we'll have some fun. March Madness has been very enjoyable for me. I think it has been for you as you cashed out a massive Barclays parlay. Congratulations to you, Ian, on that. But man, life is good. Weather is starting to warm up. Besides today in Kansas City, it's about 30 degrees, potential chance for little snowflakes. But then it gets to 70 on Saturday. I don't know what's going on. The weather's bipolar. When it's warm, I golf. When it's cold, I stay indoors.
Yeah, my eyes burn from watching so much college basketball these past few days. So I'm excited to talk about some NFL. But before we dive into it, football fans, DraftKings is offering a sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 bet on any sport, including March Madness, to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up using our code STB. Wow, look at the effects. Using our code STB not only gets you these bonuses, but it also directly supports our podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure to use the code STB to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Sign up. DraftKings, code STB. Bet $5 on any sport. You get $150 in bonus bets. I recommend you put $5 on Andrea Lee at 75-1 to win this week's LPGA 4 championship.
Bold. Remind me after the show, Ian.
I guess you can bet on NFL stuff right now, but there's no games that you can bet on right now. You got to bet on something else.
Yeah. Remind me after the show, and I'm going to throw some. I'll listen to you.
All right. All right, let's get into it. It's rule changes. Two big rule changes happened over the past couple of days. Which one do you want to tackle first here, Sterling? Do you want to talk about the kickoff rule or do you want to talk about the hip drop rule?
Let's start with the kickoff rule because this is the one that I actually enjoy. I think it's more convoluted. I think it's very difficult. But I think once you break it down and see it in action, I think you're going to be left saying, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. Basically, what this is going to do, just from the top down here, the new kickoff rule is going to make more returns. It's going to be way more returns. Way less touchbacks, way more action in the game, and less injuries. If that sounds like something that you would get behind, then you should enjoy this rule. Is it going to look weird at first? You bet your ass it is. But once it gets going, I think people, for the most part, are going to enjoy this. So they got this format that originated in the XFL, but there are a couple of tweaks. This proposal passed by a vote of 29-3. It only needed 24 votes to pass.
Do we know who voted against it?
I do not have that in front of me as of now.
Okay, keep going. I'm going to see if I can find out who voted against it.
So during this upcoming season, kickers will continue to kick off from the 35-yard line. But the other 10 players on the kickoff team will line up not at their 40, on the receiving team 40-yard line. At least 9 members of the return team will line up in a setup zone, which is between the 35 and the 30-yard lines. Up to 2 returners can line up in the landing zone, that is anywhere between the goal line and the 20-yard line. So again, let me try and break this down so it's a little more understandable. We don't have graphics going for you, so I'm trying to break this down as best I can. At least 8 players and up to 2 on the receiving team will be lined up, up to 2 in the landing zone from goal line to 20. Kickers will no longer try and blast the ball out of the end zone because guess what? Touchbacks are no longer at the 20 or 25 yard line. Touchbacks will now be marked at the 30 yard line. No fair catches will be allowed. Okay. If it goes out of bounds, I believe it goes to the 40. If I'm not mistaken, still, I think that's still normal. Stop me if I've lost you at all, Ian. Are you with me here?
No, I am with you. And for anyone, I guess, who's listening to this or watching this and wants an example of it, Adam Schefter did tweet out an example of it. It is basically what XFL did in their latest season, but with some slight changes. So if you want a visual example, just go look at Adam Schefter's Twitter. Yeah, Trevor says, good rule change. Looks weird at first, but it reduces injuries and increases the number of return kickoffs. Punts are way more interesting than kickoffs anyways.
So the difference is, where the players are aligned in the XFL, they lined up farther downfield between the returning teams 30 and 35. This one obviously is between 35 and 30. That seems like they just said the exact same things, just backwards. But more than 90% of kickoffs were returned during the XFL's 2 seasons. So the NFL is hoping for a return rate of 80%. Again, at times, they'll still try and kick it out because teams will get the ball at the 30. But more often than not, I think you're going to see a lot of guys being brought down at the 20. Maybe you'll see some pop off. And I think there's going to be a lot of strategy involved. No longer, in my opinion, Ian, love to get your thoughts here. No longer are you going to try and get the speedsters back there. You're going to try and get this as a running back, someone who has really good vision, because you're not going top end speed at this point. You're trying to follow your blockers. There's going to be an interesting game plan between, you put linebackers and tight ends out there to try and block. Do you put some faster guys out there trying? Like, there's a lot of different ways you can go about this that I think people aren't fully realizing yet. I think some people see, oh my gosh, the NFL is adding something. It's changing. I'm going to say this is horrible. This is bad for the NFL. If you want to see more action, you should love this rule.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I will agree. That's actually an interesting point that I didn't fully grasp or think about, in that the returner is now going to look different. It's probably kind of don't want a wide receiver in that role. I think you do kind of want a running back, and maybe even a running back that has some strength, like maybe even a little bit of a bigger running back who can break tackles. Someone that's a little bit more shifty as opposed to just straight ahead speed. That is not something I had considered, but that is interesting.
Because it's going to be more of a run blocking scheme. Now you'll have zone blocking, you'll have, you know, man on man, but it just depends on how you want it. And again, when you can have two guys back there, and it makes more sense than the original kickoff rule to have two guys back there, it's going to make a punt return, but where your blockers, again, they're what, 5 yards apart from each other? 5 to up to 10 is what it could be, up to 10 yards apart on the receiving team. You're not getting a huge running start. You have the ability to really get your hands on a guy. Hopefully you're not getting shaken out of your boots. I'm very intrigued by this. This is one rule change that I am, because again, kickoffs are becoming pointless. At some point I was sitting here going, we'll just take kickoffs out of the game. It's just touchbacks. It was what, 80% touchbacks? Who cares? Take it out of the game. But now this is different.
Yeah, so I do think this was a change that had to be made. They either had to just get rid of kickoffs completely and just give the ball, you know, on like the, you know, 25-yard line or 30-yard line at the start of every possession. It is going to be weird at the start. My biggest concern, and the reason why I think this is going to make the biggest change, is, correct me if I'm wrong, Sterling, but starting field position is going to increase significantly in terms of where offenses are starting with the football. And increased, starting field position is going to mean more points scored. So this is kind of the NFL's way of addressing what they think is an issue, and that scoring has been down the past few years.
I would agree.
Also, when you look at more scoring, and actually, yes, probably more points, but I think depending on how much the average field starting field position is going to increase, fewer yards will have to be gained for teams to then score, which then means like certain records, like the point scoring records, are all going to get broken. But then like records where it's like total yards, you know, gain, passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, those records may never get broken now because there is less field in general that the teams will need to march down in order to score. Now, maybe I'm overblowing it. Maybe the starting field position isn't actually going to increase that much, and it's going to be relatively the same, maybe a small increase. But that's my initial reaction, or at least how I'd play devil's advocate if I were to point out something that is kind of a negative that I don't necessarily like about it.
Well, I don't disagree, and I actually think you're on a right path here, and I'll get to the historical aspect, I'll get into the actual aspect of what I think is going to happen in a second. Historical aspect here, the NFL is not like baseball. Like, history is very important in the NFL, but the actual records themselves, I don't think matters as much as
baseball. Well, I mean, adding on an extra, you know, game on the schedule, certainly.
That was my point. From 14 to 16 to 17, there's already going to be this, how do you judge? Baseball went from, 154 to 162, but it's a little bit different. Baseball has always had this numbers, that the numbers outlook first and foremost. That seemingly is always there.
Yeah.
Football is different. It's more of a team sport. I'm not saying baseball is not a team sport, but football, it comes to team success first. When you talk about Tom Brady, you talk about the rings. You don't talk about the numbers he really put up, right?
Well,
I mean, you talk about the rings first. He put up incredible numbers, but when you talk about Barry Bonds, what do you talk about first?
Home runs, dingers.
When you talk about Babe Ruth, how much success he had, what do you talk about first typically? Home runs. And the fact he was able to pitch and hit home runs too. Like baseball is almost always going to be stats led first. Cal Ripken Jr. was games played. That was a huge deal for him. NFL is going to always be, in my opinion, more of a team first, stats second type of league. So I don't have as big of an issue, although I do think you're onto something with that. But we're already seeing quarterbacks. Look at the difference between quarterbacks that got in the 70s. Look at Troy Aikman's stats compared to Ryan Tannehill or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has better numbers. Ain't nobody saying Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback in this era compared to Troy Aikman in his era. Just the numbers and eras are too different. So NFL already has this issue. I don't care about the historical aspect because it's kind of already out the window in my mind. Now, the second thing you brought up is the actual, less yards per game, more points. If the touchback is now at the 30 and it was at the 25, I'm using the rule of five here. It's a rule I just came up with. If they're moving up the touchback 5+ yards, that probably means that the return is going to average 5+ yards more. That's kind of my thought process. They wouldn't move the touchback up to a 30-yarder from the 25 if they didn't think it was a similar sort of gain. That's what I think.
Is a touchback 30 or 35? I thought I read somewhere it's 35, and I'm trying to figure that out now. Is that where the touchback goes, 30? I don't know why I can't find it right now.
Let me pull this back up. Touchbacks will be marked at the 30-yard line, and no fair catches will be allowed. So you're going to see a lot of pop-up kicks.
What I'm seeing is, so I kick, hits an end zone, stays in bounds, or turn it down. If downed, then touchback to 35-yard line. Any kick that goes over the back of the end zone, touchdown to 35-yard line.
Well, then ESPN, and I don't know what you're on.
I'm looking at the one that Ari Marov tweeted out.
So sounds like there's already disconnect between some of the major corporations here in regards to this, because ESPN,
because 30, and I think part of my rant earlier was based on if the touchback is to the 35, because 30 yard line is a lot more digestible to me. If the touchback goes to the 35, now we're adding 10 yards on.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah. And this helps bad teams. But the NFL, what do they like more than anything else? They like parody. They love parody. Why was last year so spectacular, in my opinion? Obviously, I'm a Chiefs fan, so I'm going to be thrilled about the outcome. But during the regular season, what was so special? Any team could be any team on any given week. It's always the same, any given Sunday. But I think for the most part, we're always like, yeah, sure. But last year, it really rung true in my mind. NFL loves parody. This helps the bad teams. This helps teams like the Panthers, who all of a sudden now they're not out of a game. You know, a team that maybe is struggling offensively. The Jets had this rule last year. The Jets have been a better team when they were good defensively, but horrendous offensively. Would they have been in more games? Maybe. This actually wouldn't have really hurt the Chiefs last year because they were so salty defensively. It wasn't like they were getting up a ton of yards either way. But I do think in totality, this does help poor offenses more, as well as bad teams.
Yeah, and I'm still looked at a couple different sources now. Touchbacks to the 30 are some other sources. So, but I'm still seeing, yeah, I don't know if it's 30 or 35. I'm seeing multiple sources say both. So obviously this just broke this morning, so we need a little bit more clarification on that. Also, I don't fully understand what the onside rule kick rules are. Is onside kicks normal, the same as it was before, but there's no surprise onside kicks? You have to declare it, and you have to be in the fourth quarter, and you have to be trailing.
Correct. I know onside kicks are the exact same as they were, but you do have to say, hey, we're doing an onside kick.
Right.
There was talk that on the onside kick, you could now line up a little differently on the sides back to how you used to be able to line up, where it'd be like six on one side, four on the other, you know.
Because right. The way they have right now, onside kicks are almost impossible.
Correct. So they're trying to almost bring the onside kicks back to the way they used to be, but also saying, hey, we're doing an onside kick.
So no more surprise onside kicks.
Well, I still like, because you're kicking up from the 35 and everyone else is down on the 30. You would that.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
I still think they should do the rule where if you want to do an onside, you get like a fourth and 20 and you get like an offensive play and you have to convert a fourth and 20. If you convert a fourth and 20, you get the ball back.
So the reason why I actually love that is because I'm a Chiefs fan. If I were a Panthers fan,
Mahomes is what, 100% on converting fourth and 20s?
If you're the Broncos, you're saying this is literally impossible.
Right. That's true. It favors teams with much better offenses, I guess.
Yeah. That's my only pushback. Again, as long as the Chiefs have Mahomes, I'm for it. The second the Chiefs and Mahomes retires, no, go back to never having that rule ever again.
Trevor does also ask, would be interested to hear your thoughts on the lower points scored last year. Watching last season, I felt there was more bad offensive football than I'd seen in several years. He went on to say, maybe you could argue that's just because defenses have adapted, but from watching the games, it seemed like the quarterback play was really bad, and there was just a ton of unforced errors, not good defense. Yeah, I don't know. I think you could take several different sides of that argument. I think defenses caught up to what offenses were doing. And, offenses were playing a really, you know, spread offense where they're just taking shots down deep. Defenses then adjusted and they're playing a lot more. What was it? Cover three. They were playing a lot more of to force things more underneath. And I don't think offenses did a good job of then readjusting back to then what the defenses are doing. And throughout the history of the NFL, we see that offenses do something, works for a few years, defense adjust, and then it takes a couple of years for the offenses to then figure out something new and how to, you know, adjust to the adjustment, and it kind of goes back and forth. So that's why I'm not necessarily a big fan of the NFL. Once again, haven't figured out if touchback is 30 or 35, conflicting sources, but even if it's 30, it's like, yeah, I don't know if just moving the ball up at the start of every single possession is the best way to figure this out. Because I don't think just simply more points on the board makes the games more exciting. Sure, it's more offense, but at the end of the day, that's the offense's fault. So they need to figure it out. The coaches need to come up with better game plans. I don't think changing the rules to get more points on the board is the way to go about it.
Yeah, and if it's the 30 even, 30 yards, you're in field goal range. With today's kickers, that's a 57-yarder. You know, if you get to the 40, 30 yards from the 30, I mean, you're in field goal range. Doesn't take much. I'm with you. I get what you're saying with quarterback play. Quarterback play was atrocious last year, and part of that was because of all the injuries to starting quarterbacks. I think that played a big, big factor. I think it's a little whiplash. They didn't need to adjust this quickly. If it was another year with all the starting quarterbacks, offense was down, and you're sitting here like, we have to do something, then sure, I understand it. But you're right. I think that's a very good point. I think offenses were down. I think the cover two high shell, right? That was a big difference. Teams have to adjust. And as Justin says, do you see the power run game coming back in the next 10 years? Yes, I do. I talked to Emmett Smith about it. I've talked to Emmett Smith about this three different times. And every single time Emmett Smith and I, we agree that in the next, I don't know if it's 10 years, but in the future, because the NFL is cyclical, when every team, as we saw this year, is going out with three safeties, two linebackers. And by the way, those two linebackers right now, a lot of times are lighter than they used to be. Mm-hmm. Well, eventually some team will say, all right, fine. We're just going to power it down your throat. We're just going to run the ball 40 times a game. And good luck. You're 240-pound or 230-pound linebackers compared to 260. You're getting run over. You're getting trucked. Now you have a safety instead of an extra linebacker out there. I do think that's going to be something that some teams, maybe not the best teams, but I think some teams will do. It's what the Titans, I think, were quite frankly always outplaying what they should have been doing, right? Titans had bad teams for a long time. Not last year, necessarily the year before, but when every team was spreading the ball out and passing the ball, well, what'd they do? Like, we'll just run the ball. It didn't work in the playoffs, but they got them a one seed. It wasn't Ryan Tannehill. It was some play action, but it was Derrick Henry. I do think there's something to be said about offenses having to adjust, and I do think Justin's on the right track where in the next 10 years or so, if teams continuously put lighter and lighter players on the defensive side of the ball, you might see the power run game make a strong return.
And I do think actually GMs might be catching on to this because something happened this offseason that neither of us expected, Sterling, and that the running back market was like the hottest position as soon as free agency opened up. Running backs shifting all over the place, whereas I feel like, you know, the past few seasons leading up to, teams are like, yeah, we'll just, you know, use whatever we get and, you know, we're not going to running backs not going to be, you know, a number one priority for us when free agency opens up. But this year it was running backs. Now they're still not getting necessarily paid a ton, but they're at least, you know, a lot of players I thought were going to take a long time to get a contract or for a trade to happen. But no, it's almost immediately these running backs were getting scooped up by teams. So, you know, we might be seeing, you know, GMs and coaches starting to catch on to that and starting to prepare for that this coming season.
Two positions. Running back and guard. Guard.
Yeah.
When you talk about guards, you talk about power. You talk about running up the gut. So, yes, I do think there is something there.
All right, let's talk about the other rule change, which I like the kickoff one, even though, like I said, it's going to get a little bit of getting used to. And the kickoff one is, for what it's worth, is just put into place for one season. They're going to do a one season test of it, and if they like it, keep it. So they could technically go back after – just one season of the kickoff rule. But then there's the other rule, which I don't like. And this one's a little bit more controversial, and that's the hip drop tackle ban. So they are banning hip drop tackles where you basically grab someone and then you drop your hip and kind of let your weight take the player down. It is the type of tackle that injured Mark Andrews, I believe, this past season, if I'm correct. And that has been completely banned from the NFL. Sterling, why don't you give your thoughts on it first, and then I'll give mine.
Okay. You know, after I took a deeper dive, the rule change itself is not horrendous. Now, calm down. I know what you're saying. How are you supposed to tackle? How are you supposed to bring someone down from behind? I'm with you. The reason why I say the rule change itself, the actual outline, isn't horrible because these are all ands. Grabs a runner with both hands while attempting to make a tackle and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body. Okay, that's fine. And then lands on and traps the runner's legs at or below the knee. If it's just the first two things, I'm sitting here going, this is atrocious. What are you supposed to do? When you add the and on all three, I somewhat understand what the rule is trying to do. The issue I mainly have is it will not be called this way. You know it. I know it. We all know it. What you're doing now is adding refs to have more subjectivity on calls that they already blow. There's already so much on refs' plates. And by the way, I'm not always blaming the refs because I think it's a very hard job. But now you're adding another thing that's very gray for them to try and do in the moment as you're watching dudes who run 4.3s who are 260 pounds. And now you have to try in real time, make a call while you're looking for 17 other different things. Good luck. You know this is going to inflect and make an outcome of a game actually happen. This is going to ruin a game because a ref sees something that, quite frankly, was not called. Same thing with the weight on the quarterback on a sack. It's atrocious. It's silly. It's absurd. Don't do it. If you're going to do something like this, then you better have a ref up top saying, hey, no, only two of the three criteria was met. but they're not going to do that. You know that. We all know that. So what this does is makes refs have even more impact, even more influence over a game. And guess what? We all love that, don't we? No, because of that, I hate this rule. That's the main reason why I hate this rule, is because there is zero way, in my opinion, to enforce this and have the actual outcome with all three of these things met consistently. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, the literally the last thing the NFL needs right now in terms of its product is more subjective referee calls, because they are, I mean, I'm never going to say the NFL is being ruined, because it's not. The numbers are higher than ever. People are going to watch the NFL no matter what. But if you actually sit down and watch their product, you on any given game, there's at least going to be one call where it's subjective. You don't agree with the ref. You can point to a previous example of that, an exact same play where the penalty wasn't called, but this time it is. When it happens in a key situation, it's even worse. We need to get rid of those types of calls in the NFL, and this now just adds another option. Obviously, the big one that you've been talking about is that you mentioned, Sterling, was quarterback, you know, roughing the passer with your weight falling on the quarterback. The amount of times that's been called the past few years is insane. I remember the Falcons lost to the Buccaneers 2 years ago. I still remember it because we sacked Tom Brady and they just called the penalty, and it was insane to me.
Oh, I remember that game. Yeah, you guys got boned, dude.
Yeah, we need less ref subjectivity, and this penalty, the hip drop tackle, then just is now another option where, if somehow all the perfect calls were called in the right perfect situations, it's fine, but it's just more ref subjectivity that's going to ruin the game. It's going to be a big moment, and it's going to be a bad call. And then you're going to have the people on Twitter being like, oh, by the book, this actually is the right call, and you should have called it. And it's just, it's going to suck. Yeah. My other issue with it is, if the spirit of the penalty of this type of tackle being banned is to keep players safe, my biggest issue is that's such a slippery slope because, and I tweeted this, football in and of itself is a dangerous sport. So what else are we going to ban? Because their cut blocks are dangerous. Even just tackling in general, even a normal safe by the book tackle is dangerous. Running into people is dangerous. Football is dangerous. Players are going to get hurt. We can't every year have a play that hurt a player like this year is with Mark Andrews, and then be like, okay, we need to come up with a rule so that doesn't happen again. Because if we do that, then 20 years down the road, it's flag football. Yes. Which, if that's the case, if that's what we all decide needs to happen because player safety is the number one thing that's important, then let's just start playing flag football because football is dangerous.
Yes.
And there are plays all throughout the game that are by the book, follows all the rules, and players are going to get hurt because, surprise, tackling people at full speed is dangerous. So I just have the issue because I just think this is a slippery slope. Next year, it'll be a new rule where you can't tackle this kind of way. And then it's a slippery slope. So that's kind of my biggest issue with it is, if player safety is the number one thing that we should be concerned with, then maybe we should just stop playing football as it is because it's not a safe sport.
Yeah.
And then people signing up to play football at this point, I would at least hope, are aware that it's not a safe sport. So you kind of know what you're getting into.
It's the South Park episode, man. It's the South Park episode.
Right.
I mean, this game is inherently dangerous. There's a reason why, again, it sucks, sad, but there's a reason why you're compensated the way they're compensated. It's part of the factor.
Right.
Sorry, accountants. Sorry, the people who, a teacher, a janitor, they don't have the same risk. They're not getting paid the same way. They're not bringing the same amount of money, obviously. But part of the reason these guys get paid so much is because of the risk. You know what you're getting into. Like, I'm sorry, but at some point, again, the game is dangerous. Do we want it to be as safe as possible? Sure, we do, with it still being football. I understand taking and trying to say no helmet-to-helmet hits. 100%. That makes a lot of sense. That's not really football. It's like in the NBA when, people are like, oh yeah, well, he wouldn't have survived the 80s when dudes are getting elbowed in the dome. It's like, that's not basketball. That's MMA. That's not part of a basketball. Helmet to helmet hits, in my opinion, isn't really part of football. That's someone trying to make a dirty play. I don't think anyone in this instance who do these hip drop tackles, for the most part, maybe I'm wrong. I don't see Vontaze Burfict out there, so I think I'm okay here saying this. I don't think anyone, allegedly, of course, is trying to injure someone. Like, I don't think anyone's trying to, I don't think he was trying to injure Mark Andrews.
Right.
He saw a 6'5", 260 tight end trying to pick up a first down, and he goes, I will do everything in my possibility to bring him down short. Like,
right. And no one's ever got a concussion from a hip drop tackle, which right. I think that's why the head to head things I'm okay with, because we got to protect the head. You know, CTE is a very real thing, but guys aren't getting concussions from hip drop tackles. And I think NFL players agree. I don't think they like this rule change. I know JJ Watt tweeted just forward to the belts with flags on them, because that's the direction it's going. I don't think NFL players like this rule change.
No.
So I just don't get why we're doing it. Is it because now the NFL is really trying to get more points on the board? So now they're adding another penalty that defensive players can get for making a tackle? Maybe.
Yeah. And of course, with betting involved, this no way this will go wrong. No way. I'm not saying the NFL rigs games by any means. I think that's just an atrocious conversation to even start or to even have. Right. But I think it's one of those situations where you're sitting here going, it will influence the outcome of games. People who put money on games. Now, I'm not a huge bettor. I'm not Ian McBetts. I'm not Sterling McBetts over here. But like, if I'm being honest, if I know that this could influence a game, and after the first couple of weeks, maybe you lose a bet because of this happens, are you going to keep betting? You might take some time off. Like, I think there's some serious repercussions to be had when you add subjective penalties just like this. Such a tackle, the hip drop tackle, will now result in a 15-yard penalty, automatic first down. If a player brings his opponent down to the ground by performing the first two steps, which is grabs a run with both hands while attempting to make a tackle, unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips or lower body, that's okay. That will be deemed legal, but it's if you land on and trap the runner's legs at or below the knees, which again, of course, becomes subjective. This is where I have the issue. Again, I said it. If the actual only calls from this are by the letter of the law, I won't have a big issue, because how many of these, right, how many of these happen every single year? If the one that Mark Andrews had was a penalty, would you sit here and say, okay, maybe? Like, but I just don't think that's going to be the case here.
No.
I like this question from, where is this at? Joshua. Give me a question, a comment. It says, I predict it gets called a lot the first 3 weeks, and then it just coincidentally goes down after that. Yeah. The NFL does that all the time. All sports do this. Remember in college basketball, the block charge thing, when they eventually said you can't do this. And what happened? Players adjust. Players will adjust. But at some point, the defense has adjusted so much. How much more can they do?
Yeah. I like Matthew's comment the best. So which team do the Falcons lose to because of a hip drop tackle at the end of the game?
Bucks.
You know that's happening. First round of the playoffs, Kirk Cousins there. We have a 20-point lead. We blow the lead. Then we have a chance to stop the team from going down and having a game-winning score. We stop them. It's third down, fourth down. They got a punt. Oh, call the Falcons on a hip drop tackle on, I don't know, who are they playing against? Saquon Barkley of the Eagles now. And now, ooh, all of a sudden, Eagles are in field goal position. They kick the game-winning field goal. Falcons get sent home. Don't win a playoff game. That's 100% happening. If any team's going to get screwed by this, it's the Falcons. You know what team's going to benefit from this the most? The Chiefs, because they get all the calls lately.
I will not touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Chiefs will win the Super Bowl this year because, well, the Chiefs are trying to run down the clock with a 2-point lead. The other team stops them. Oh, penalty, hip drop tackle, first down Chiefs, game over.
You shouldn't hit them. Actually, by the letter of the law. No, yeah.
That was a penalty.
No, man, I don't like this, because defense is hard enough. Like, if they were sitting here going, okay, you can't do this, but you can now jam farther down the field, more hand fighting is allowed with cornerbacks. Okay.
Right.
Cool. But no, cornerbacks can't breathe on a guy.
Right.
You can't tackle high. You can't do a lot low.
Right.
Like, you have a 6-inch window to hit, and that's, you can't put your helmet down to tackle him there, because right, if you hit him with your helmet, that's a penalty too. Cause that's launching.
Like, do you know how hard it is to actually like make like a form by the book tackle? Like, you have to have the guy in the perfect situation and be at the right angle to actually, like, tackle the way, like, the rule book says you should tackle. That's hard to do. And then also on the way down, not have your weight fall on him. So, make tackling almost impossible.
And like, I know
there's going to be plays where, like, the defender's just not going to go in for a tackle because he's scared to get a penalty.
I know rugby did change the rule here. Rugby said you can't hip drop tackle. And, you know, I'll entertain it, but no one's saying rugby's not physical. They still don't play with helmets, though, do they?
No.
Like, it seems like a weird thing for rugby to be like, you know what? We don't want helmets, but no longer can you hip drop. Like, right. Okay, rugby. I don't know if I'd look at them as the pinnacle of safety measures, but it worked for them. We'll see if it works in the NFL. Again, as we know, players will adjust. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy here. Again, I like the first rule change. I'm not trying to be against change. I'm not trying to be a, old man yells at cloud here. I do typically find myself on the side of tradition. Like baseball, I almost always find myself. And then I found myself enjoying a couple of the rule changes, right? So I think a lot of times we as a human race, we love to get up in arms about something. We like to be frustrated because we think it's changing and taking away what we have grown up watching and loving. And then we see some of the things actually happen in real time and say, you know what? Maybe it wasn't the worst thing in the world. Again, extra points. I love the extra points now being like a 30 yarder instead of a chip in.
Yeah.
Like I love that rule. So again, we'll see.
Another small rule change that I think was just announced before it went live, the trade deadline pushed back a week. Obviously not as impactful as the other two rule changes we discussed, but I actually like this because anytime the trade deadline comes up in the NFL, I'm always like, oh, isn't this kind of early for the trade deadline compared to other sports? Because it's like right now it's at like the halfway mark.
I think it's 8, and now I think it got moved to 9.
Yes.
Which is still
before early. It was right after the week 8 games. Now it's right after the week 9 games.
Still seems early to me.
Still seems other sports is like 3/4 of the way through the season.
Well, because you don't know if you're in or out, especially with the addition of the playoff teams, right? You know, you have now what, 7 from each conference. You're sitting there going, well, if you're around 500, why, if you're 4-5 even, are you selling?
Right.
Maybe not. Like I think week 12, I know that probably seems really, really late, but I'm sure the players, well, I don't know why I should say it. When do the players get a lot of say in the NFL? So maybe they don't have that say at all, but I like it moving back at least a little. You almost had to with the additional week 17 game. Like there's 17 games, I should say, I guess week 18, but 17 games overall. You had to make it the halfway point. I'd push it back farther, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
I agree. I don't know if I'd go week 12. I think maybe right after even week 10 or right after week 11. Jalen says, honestly, I would let the players decide on the kickoff rule change. If the players didn't want to change, why change it? It's going to be weirdly different. I'm not saying it will be. But the issue was it was a waste of a play. Like, it was a touchback, what, 80% of the time? Like, it's even like watching it as a fan, which really at the end of the day, the game should tend to the fan more so than the player, actually, I think. It was a waste of a play. Like, why even have that play happen? If you're just, it's just guys line up, they kick it over the end zone, and then they put it on the 25-yard line. It was a waste of a play. They had to do something.
And it would be even worse.
That something could have just been just every team starts at the 25-yard line, and there's just no kickoff whatsoever. But I think this is a good change because it does kind of force, obviously, some returns. There are going to be some touchbacks, but not as much.
And it'll be strategy and different play and roster construction. And again, I think part of it, too, is gunners will be different, obviously. It's not going to be the same. But also, you're still going to have guys who were fringe NFL players get jobs. Yep. It's not now. Because if you took the kickoffs completely out, that's less special teamers. You don't have to worry about that as much. Then the top, the rich get richer probably, and then you're not paying the bottom end of your roster and how it gets constructed and all that stuff. So I do think this is also a situation where at least, I don't know if this was a real thought or not, but I'm having it here, where again, some of those, 46 to 53 on the back end of your roster, they get a chance to make the roster.
Yep. So. All right.
Think of the little guy, Ian.
Trust me. Hey, I played college football. I was a special teamer. So I got a soft spot for those guys. Third string running back, special teamer, kickoff specialist. I got a soft spot for those guys. That was me. All right, let's move on to some secondary topics here. JJ McCarthy. I know we've talked about him. I think this is the third week in a row we've talked about JJ McCarthy, but I think it is at least worth noting here. By the way, Jalen says they need to go back to the original kickoff rules. Well, the issue with that is you're making professional football players sprint 40 yards each other and then collide. as someone who once again played kickoff, you get a headache after every single kickoff. It's not fun. You're literally sprinting for 30 yards and then running full force into a guy. It's kickoff sucks. So this is actually way better. The original kickoff rules are as concussions every play. Too dangerous. And the bad kind of dangerous where we're messing with people's brains.
Yeah.
Which is not the case with the hip drop tackles. As much as it sucks to blown Achilles, you'll be fine. You're not going to get CTE from a blown Achilles. JJ McCarthy to the Commanders, Sterling. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a report that came out that the Commanders at number 2 overall are actually starting to eye JJ McCarthy after being like not even in the discussion as a top 3 pick or like mid first round at best, has now gotten in the conversation to be a top 10 pick and now a top 5 pick and now a top 2 pick. And the betting odds have reflected. He's gone from 2,500 plus 2,500 to be the number 2 overall pick on the weekend. And now, at least at the sports book I'm looking at, plus 350, which if you translate that to implied probability, which I'll do here in a second, because these odds have even shifted from yesterday, plus 350 is now an implied probability of, my internet's now slow, of course, 22.22%. of him being the number 2 overall pick. So some big steam behind JJ McCarthy potentially going to the Commanders at number 2. Now, here's the issue is that every single year we hear reports about this. Oh, a team might go this direction. Then they'll go that direction. Then they'll go the other direction. And we don't really know until the pick is in, because wasn't it? Yeah. Will Levis, there was rumors. Even I remember there's a Reddit post the week of the draft that Will Levis, through an inside source, was going to go first overall. And what, he dropped down to second round.
Yep. Second round.
So we never really know, but it is worth mentioning there has been some major steam behind JJ McCarthy potentially going number 2. I will say Jaden Daniels still the minus 125 favorite in sort of the betting in terms of the betting odds. Drake May still second at 2-1, but McCarthy has gone from 25-1 to plus 350, 3.5-1.
This would be a very Commanders thing.
It would be a very Commanders thing, wouldn't it? Yes.
They should go back to Washington football team, by the way. They back
ass, like Washington football.
No, they back assed their way into a great name and then they ruined it. Like Washington football team takes Jaden Daniels. Washington Commanders takes JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't actually love Washington football team as much as other people, but I don't like Commanders either. It's too basic. Have some creativity.
Washington presidents and like the left tackle has to dress up like William Howard Taft.
Perfect. Don't know who that is, but I assume that's a president.
The president who got stuck in a tub. Come on now. You know, Canadian. William Howard Taft. He went to University of Cincinnati.
Okay. How about I start giving you trivia questions about Canadian prime ministers?
That's different. They don't really have any actual power.
Oh, all right.
Trudeau.
That's the current one.
The guy before, didn't he do a lot of blow allegedly?
No. Stephen Harper? No.
Who was the guy that the Canadian guy that did a lot of it was a party boy?
I don't know. That might be Trudeau that you're thinking of.
Could be.
Or Trudeau's dad, Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
I don't know, maybe. I thought there was one Canadian that made the news a while ago for
Oh, you're talking about the mayor of Toronto.
Oh, probably, yeah.
One of the Ford brothers. I think it was it Rob Ford's either the guy who's still alive? Doug, it was Doug Ford.
Oh, I couldn't tell you who it was. I just remember
the mayor of Toronto, yeah.
And I was like, wow, Canada, they really do love snow, huh?
Yeah, yeah, Doug Ford. We don't need to turn this into Canadian politics. No, it wasn't it allegedly. He was on video doing cocaine. There was no legend about it. It was.
I'm covering my bases.
Chiefs trade L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans for a 2025 third and a swap of, I think, 7th round picks. Sterling, you did predict this when he signed the franchise tag. You thought it might be a sign and trade. And that has been confirmed. He is now with the Titans. I'll let you kind of take it away on this one.
That's what I told everyone. Yep. No one wants to believe it. Your players are not as valuable as you think they are. They just aren't. Love L'Jarius Sneed, but a team has not given up a ton of draft capital and then turning around and making him one of the highest paid corners in the NFL. Just isn't going to happen. When I told you Jalen Ramsey got traded for a third, what did you think L'Jarius was going to get traded for? It just, it sucks, but it's the nature of the beast. This is what I thought. I said, if you get a second, you make that deal. I don't think they got a second. I don't think offered a second. When it comes down to it, I probably would have kept him for this, though. I think 1 year of L'Jarius on the franchise tag, when you're going for a three-peat, you're still getting probably his last best year out of him. If I were the Chiefs, I probably would have kept L'Jarius instead of that third, because you're getting a compensatory pick after instead, right? So I would have kept L'Jarius personally if I was Kansas City. But same time, this was what I thought the trade was going to be. I didn't think they were going to get much more. Maybe I thought a sixth instead of a seventh round swap, but no, this was pretty much in line with my thought process.
Are the Titans sneakily having a very good offseason? Because obviously Derrick Henry is now in Baltimore. They still have a quarterback situation. It seems like they're going with Levis again. I mean, they did sign Mason Rudolph to a one-year deal, but Calvin Ridley they got, Lloyd Cushenberry they got, Kenneth Murray they got, Chidobe Awuzie they got, L'Jarius Sneed they got. Like, Titans are kind of quietly having a very good offseason.
Yeah, and again, Chidobe Awuzie, you know, the Bengals cornerback, he's older, obviously, older for a cornerback, I should say. Oh, wow, don't say older because I think we're the same age. Sad. yep. But the Titans' defensive issues have pretty much always led or has been led by the secondary. Their secondary has been atrocious. So they went out and got a veteran corner who has been really solid in Awuzie, and then I think a great corner in L'Jarius Sneed. So I think they've done a good job at least showing up the biggest defensive issues. The issue is no Mike Vrabel. I assumed he got the best out of his roster. No longer do you have Derrick Henry, but you're going to have to find a new identity offensively. And the issue is you don't have a quarterback. Yeah, Calvin Ridley is great, but who's throwing him the rock? Right. Will Levis? If you believe in Will Levis and he takes that next step, then sure. But he could easily become Kenny Pickett where you think he's taking the next step and he goes, oh yeah, this is exactly who we thought he was.
Right. Will Levis look like an MVP against my Falcons, of course, and then completely regress the rest of the year. But yeah, we'll see. But Will Levis. But yeah, Lloyd Cushenberry, the center, was a great signing by them. Number 10 ranked center, according to PFF this past season. So that was a solid signing as well. So they made some moves. They have certainly made some moves. Bijan Robinson. I don't know if you saw this point. 4% of people predicted a perfect bracket after the first day of March Madness. My Bijan Robinson, running back for the Atlanta Falcons, was one of them. Is this a good omen for the Falcons? Does this mean the Falcons, perfect bracket, perfect season, 17-0 season upcoming for the Falcons, yes or yes?
I guess the first round, so the first four games, I'll say yeah. What happened after that, Bijan? Awfully quiet, huh? Bracket? Awfully not quiet great. Now.
but how many games are there? There's 16 games in the first day, 16-0.
Wow.
Seems logical to me.
And then you lose the first game and then you lose out. So you lose in the first round of the playoffs. Well, I guess you make it to the second round. I assume you get the bye. There you go. There you go, Ian.
Good omen from Bijan Robinson. Not really worth talking about, but it did make
it. You got to give the dude some credit. That's pretty cool. Because even after the first round, that was insane. I mean, there were so many upsets.
Yes. What was the big one he called? Oakland beating Kentucky, which was kind of the big one of the first day.
I had Kentucky going far, and I was still rooting for Oakland. I'm still at a bar going, Golkey?
Jack?
Jay Golkey?
Yeah.
Who was just draining. I legitimately thought it was Jimmer Fredette. Just he put on a Oakland jersey and said, I'm going to go out there. No one's going to know the difference.
We'll finish up on this. DraftKings has released odds for each team to make the playoffs. If you want to bet on these, go ahead and sign up for an account at DraftKings using code STB. But I want to talk about some surprising ones. Sterling, I don't think you haven't looked at these, have you?
No.
There are some surprising odds in terms of teams to make the playoffs. Jets. Let's start with the Jets. I'm going to ask you, what do you think of the Jets' chances are of making the playoffs? Just give me a percentage.
Percentage, not an odds, just percentage number. I'll say
whatever's easier for you. I assume percentage might be a bit easier.
I'll do 68%.
You think is that high of a chance of the Jets making the playoffs next year?
Yeah, I'm high on them.
Okay, so maybe I'm the weirdo then. They are not that high of making the playoffs. They're minus 135, which is an implied probability of 57.45%. So 57% chance of making the playoffs. I don't think the Jets have higher than a 50% chance. But I guess you do. So I guess that's not too surprising for you.
Well, I think the AFC, you have seven teams make it. I think the Bills took a pretty big step back. You have two auto wins against New England. New England's atrocious. I think Miami took a massive step back too. I get what you're saying with Aaron Rodgers. Like if he just turns out and but I don't like him off the field. He seems like he does not care about football anymore.
Right.
But I don't know how much he's ever really cared about football. Like, I don't think he's ever been a guy, and maybe I'm wrong, just my perspective of him always seems like football's more or less maybe a job for him. But it doesn't matter. He's damn good at it. So until he all of a sudden actually plays and sucks, as long as he's on the field, I think he's a good quarterback.
All right. What do you think the Falcons' chances are of making the playoffs next year?
Ooh. Well, the division's atrocious. I mean, it's real bad. 65%.
75% minus 300 for the Dirty Birds to make the NFL postseason. We're coming, baby. We're coming.
I actually think that. Yeah, I should have said 75.
Minus 300 for the Falcons. I think they're around even money to win the division, but minus 300 to make the playoffs. Love seeing that. Rams, what do you think the Rams' chances are of making playoffs this year?
Ooh.
One of the hottest teams in the second half of the season last year. Almost beat upset the Lions in the opening round.
42%.
Really? You're very close to that one. Plus 115, which is 46%. I think the Rams should be favored to make the playoffs. Why are you not high on the Rams?
Well, San Fran owns that division, right?
Right, so they're not winning the division.
That's the Cardinals will the Cardinals won't be good, but the Cardinals will be a lot better than they were last year, so it's no longer two free wins, right? So you have that going for you. Seattle, I don't think, again, is great. They have a lot of moving parts with Pete Carroll gone, but the Seahawks aren't, like, horrible either. So I kind of base it by conference, which is why I probably should give the Falcons more credit than the percentage I did. But I think it's going to be a harder road for the Rams. I do think what's that defense look like without Aaron Donald. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey left the year before, but you're losing a lot of big names on that defense. I think it's a hard climb with all the moving pieces. Offensively, it'll be fine with Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, but defense I'm worried about.
I like what Justin says. I think the Rams and Falcons both make the divisional round this year, and one of them knocks off San Francisco. I like it, Justin. I like the way you think. Chargers in the AFC. What do you think the Chargers are? You got Chargers
and then like 8%.
You think the Chargers have an 8%
chance?
No,
I bet it's higher than 8%. I'll say 20.
Chargers sportsbooks are giving them a 53% chance of making the playoffs. Minus 115. Slight favorites to make the playoffs.
I am ripping the against that so hard.
You can bet the no at minus 105. Almost even money. Almost double your money.
Dude, I might put my house on this.
This might be the most surprising one to me. This one and the next one are the most surprising. The Chargers, who they have Justin Herbert and nobody.
Okay, right, I'm making a note. You text me after this. I'm making a note right now. Chargers, no. Oh, my gosh.
DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up using the code STB. Get $150 in bonus bets.
Gosh, they use your bonus bets there. Like, the Raiders, I think, are going to be a decent team this year. I'm high on the Raiders, even without their quarterback situation. I think Gardner Minshew. What did Gardner Minshew do with the Colts last year? Very similar situation to what the Raiders have. I think the Raiders are better overall. Like, the Raiders, that defense is going to be salty. And then again, the Broncos suck. So, okay, maybe two wins there. You ain't beating the Chiefs. No Keenan Allen. No Mike Williams. Bosa's always injured. Derwin James is always injured. So you have Justin Herbert throwing to a guy who can't really catch very well in Quentin Johnston. Yeah, okay. Good job, Chargers.
Yeah, minus 115. Obviously,
it's
Harbaugh. Right. But, you need some players. Holy moly. I mean, we'll see what happens in the draft and the rest of the offseason, but that one was shocking to me.
Dog, it's if the Patriots had Justin Herbert.
Yeah. Would you set the Patriots as favorites if they have just if they had Justin Herbert?
No one's no. saying that, yeah.
I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Well, I guess Herbert was hurt the second half of the season, but he's only made the playoffs once in his career with better rosters.
Choked.
And he choked. But, I mean, for this type of bet, it doesn't matter what he does in the playoffs. It's just whether or not he makes it. And the last team, the Bears. What do you think the Bears' chances are of making the playoffs this year? Assuming it's Caleb Williams. They have made some improvements, I guess.
And the Bears have actually had a good offseason, I think. They've overpaid for some dudes, but when you have rookie contracts, you got to Justin Fields. I hated them. Again, hindsight's 20/20. I said they should have drafted C.J. Stroud and traded Justin Fields last year. Didn't happen. You saw the return for Justin Fields now. I probably would have kept him for that amount. But again, sunk cost, I'll say 40%. The NFC North, you have the Lions who are good. The Packers, who are solid, Vikings will be bad. I'll say 40% for the Bears.
54%. The Bears are favored to make the playoffs at -120 odds.
I like this game. It's a fun game. What are the Chiefs?
The Bears, every single offseason, the Bears are like the most overvalued and overhyped team for no reason. And I don't get it. I guess just because Chicago is a big market, but like, last year, Justin Fields is the most bet on player to win MVP. Like, what are we doing here, people? Chiefs are -475 to make the playoffs, which is an implied probability of 82%.
Seems low.
Probably actually some kind of value there, because I would put them at like
95%. I guess the issue is just injury. Right. That's all it comes down to is injury.
Right. Chiefs are the biggest favorite to make the playoffs from what I can see, unless I guess the only other team would be the same. They have same odds as 49ers to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, makes sense. The biggest underdog to make the playoffs. Can you guess who it is?
Biggest underdog. Patriots.
Patriots and Panthers are both 10-1 to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Tough. Hate to see it. Hate to see it happen to the Patriots in a division rival.
Oof. You know what's funny? I still remember Panthers fans getting on us that we were not given enough love last year.
Yeah. Well,
I remember that.
I bet you they're probably not going to say that this offseason. It's tough. All right. That's our show. Any final thoughts, Sterling?
I'm ripping the Chargers. No. Go to DraftKings. I mean, I'm all in on this. Ian, you're my betting guy. This is why.
DraftKings, sign up, promo code SDB, get $5 in bonus, or $150 in bonus bets when you place your first $5 bet. Does not matter if the bet wins or loses, you get $150 regardless. Thank you all so much for watching. Subscribe to Stack in the Box on YouTube. Rate and review the audio version of this podcast. Thank you to everyone who watched live and chimed in with their live comments. Rule changes, big time in the NFL today. We'll be back next week, maybe at a different time, Sterling. I don't think we've locked that in.
Gotta lock it in.
We'll figure it out. It will be sometime next week. Time TBD. We'll talk to you then. Take care. Have a good week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.